Again, we have been going through the book of Ephesians. There's been so much stuff going on in the last month. We started the book of Ephesians about 7 weeks ago, and for the last 4 weeks, we haven't been in Ephesians. Next week, we're going to get into the book of Ephesians. This morning, we have a baby dedication, and so we're going to talk about that this morning. Have you ever given your child back to the Lord? I know some of you were thinking you didn't know it was an option. It is. You can smile in church. It's okay. Have you ever given your child back to the Lord? There's like a no return policy. You don't really get to send him back and get any cash back. For those of us who've been investing for the last 15 to 30 years, you kind of look for that cash back program, but that's not it. So again, I'm not suggesting that you give your child back, but here's what I am suggesting, is that you recognize that your children are a gift from God, and that they ultimately belong to God first, and really not to us at all. You might think, since we're going to do a baby dedication this morning, that I'm going to talk to just Caleb and Joanna, and I am going to talk to Caleb and Joanna, but not just to them, because the truth of the matter is, dedicating our children is something that happens for each one of us if you have a child. And it doesn't just happen once in your life. You don't just come and stand up here one time and go, "Whoop, I did it. Now they're God's. That's it." Parents, how many of you have ever had to say over and over and over again, "God, he's yours. She's yours. Take care of them. You can raise both hands. You can jump up and down. They're your kids, God. Help me, help me, help me, help me." We need to release ownership of our children, understanding that God is the one who formed them. The Word says that he knit them together in his mother's womb. He hardwired them. He knows every plan and every purpose he has for your child's life. Every plan, he knows it. That translates back, by the way, because at one time you were somebody's child. So God also knows how he's hardwired you. He knows every plan that he has for your life. The Bible says we were knit together. How many of you know life gets more exciting when there's a baby in the house? I mean, things change. You no longer sleep. That was a thing of the past. You're seeing things coming out of places you never thought you'd see. That shouldn't be happening. But there's no greater moment either when a parent gets to hold a child. There is a greater moment, and that's when the grandparent, A, gets to hold the child, B, gets to give the child back. Both of those, I love you, you know, you love him, and we love him just as much, but we love being able to go, "You know, it's good night, buddy. See ya." That's a good thing. For a pastor and for a grandpa, to see that my kids, my son, my daughter-in-law, my daughter, to see that they recognize that God is sovereign, and that this isn't just some kind of formality that we do. We don't just dedicate babies just to dedicate babies. We believe what we're doing when we dedicate a child is that we're setting them apart for God's service. Do you believe that? Wait a minute. Do you believe that? Yes. Because that's what we're doing. We're saying to this child, we recognize. We're saying to the people around us, we recognize. We're saying to God, we recognize that you are in control. And that above all things, we want our child to serve you, Lord. Today, Caleb and Joanna have said, "You know what? We understand that Titus belongs to the Lord." Parents present their children before God and before his people, asking for the grace and the wisdom to carry out their responsibilities. How many of you know babies don't really come with guidebooks? I mean, people try and write about it all the time. They just usually screw it up. You can't. I've watched. I've probably participated and said, well, you know what you need to do is this. I don't need to, I don't know that. I don't know your baby. I don't know your kid. I don't know how they were raised. I don't know how they function in your house. I can come up with all kinds of great solutions. But the reality is, God is the one who knit them together. And Caleb and Joanna are going to need help along the way. If you've got a child, I just had somebody come to me this morning. You're not going to believe what's going on now. Their child is 22, 21. This is what's going on. Guess what? We need each other. That child needs to be dedicated to the Lord again. We need to release that child again at 21, at 22, at 23, at 30, at 35, at 37. Have you ever seen your kid make a decision and you go, God, no, don't let him go there. I know my parents said that. I know my parents said that multiple times. All you got to do is meet my brother and you'll know why. Sorry, it's probably me too. I tried. Caleb and Joanna, if it's really your wish for Titus to one day follow God, then you have to be an example. Deuteronomy chapter 4 in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament, actually commands parents, first of all, to love God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, God is speaking to the entire nation of Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. With one God, that's all we've got. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And you'd think that that's enough of a command there, but God goes on. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your heart. I love it. He's squealing. That's fine. You know, you do what you need to do. You can get a tape. That's how old I am. They don't make tapes anymore. A CD. A digital copy, you can watch it online. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your heart, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. When are you not supposed to talk about the commands of God? Pretty much as long as you're breathing, right? As long as you're awake, as long as your eyes are open. We're supposed to be talking about what God has done in us, through us, for us, around us. Right? Because here's the deal. Where are your kids going to get that example from if it doesn't come from you? ABC? NBC? CBS? What about the high school? You think your kids are going to get that example from the high school? Look, this is real. Okay? This is real. We could have just brought him up this morning and said, you know, we're going to dedicate the baby, and we could have gone through the steps. But the reality is, Ben, your kids need to see you living your life every day before Jesus Christ, because that's where they're going to find the commitment to the Lord. Raymond, that's where your kids are going to find their commitment to the Lord. Leroy, I can talk to these guys. They're part of my men's group. I can get in their face. I've had to a few times. But that's the truth, Leroy. Are your kids going to go and... Now, I'm not saying that God cannot supernaturally intervene. But by and large, the example that we set for our children is the example they're going to follow. I remember my dad, always worked, he worked for the city for a number of years. He worked delivering fuel. My dad always wore the same dark blue pants, you know, Dickies pants. You remember Dickies pants? A kind of a slack pants. And he wore a blue Dickies shirt for years and years and years and years. That's what my dad wore to work. So I go to work for American Linen, and they bring me up into a warehouse that's about six times bigger than this building. And the lady's like, pick out whatever you want. There's green pants, and there's blue pants, and there's black pants, and there's striped shirts, and there's... And do you know what I picked out? Dark blue pants, dark blue shirts. And I realized it about the third day, and I went back and I said, I need new shirts. I love my dad, that's fine. But I don't have to walk down that road. The example that we set, if you missed Pastor Jim's funeral, The whole point of Pastor Jim's funeral was to say that when he was alive, he preached that funeral to his kids and to his grandkids. And every memory that I got to read about him was about Grandpa sitting down in the garden instead of chastising one of the grandkids, a five-year-old granddaughter, instead of getting on her for picking peas and making a mess, he sat down in the garden with her and had some peas. He went fishing with his kids and his grandkids. He laid down and told them stories over and over again. He lived his life. If you want to see your children walk in the ways of the Lord, then we have to do it. We have to do it. If you find an excuse to go off and do something else, trust me, your kids are going to find an excuse to go off and do something else. And you, let me give you one more step here. Don't point your finger, Tim. Preachers are not supposed to point. You know that? Don't point your finger. But let me tell you one more step. Here's another thing. You and I, we find this nice little area of sin that we like to walk in, okay? We decide that, you know, we're going to serve the Lord, but we kind of got this little area that's our own little glitch. When your kid goes down there, odds are you won't even chasten them for that because you feel too much conviction yourself. You'll just let them go down that road. Oh, you might start at first, but as soon as they recognize that, Dad, you walked down that road, you don't like to hear that then. I'm telling you, according to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, we're supposed to live this. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments I give you, and they need to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. Talk about what? Talk about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your will, with all of your day, with your job, with your relationships, with your friendships, with your career, with everything that you have in you. Talk about that with your kids. Well, I think religion is a private deal. You're wrong. Sorry, you're wrong. Religion is not a private deal. A relationship with Jesus Christ is something that we need to live openly. We need to. Jesus said, if you deny me before your friends and your family, I'm going to deny you before my Father is in heaven. Do you need to look like a sore thumb? You don't need to look like a sore thumb, but you need to live your life. You need to continue to share the gospel. Deuteronomy makes it clear that the teaching of children belongs to parents. Now, Sunday school is great. We're going to get back to having Sunday school. We're going to have children's programs. That's all great. But that's not, you know what? Kind of does my heart good to see some small kids up here. I know. Their Benny's moving, right? Shaking, can't hardly take it, right? That's okay. I'm sure that I did not as a parent, I know that as a parent, I did not do the best job when it comes to discipline and correction. I know that. And the thing I wish I had remembered, the thing I wish somebody had pointed out to me was that first and foremost, I'm disciplining God's children. Way too often I grab those reins myself. Listen to what Proverbs 17 says. Proverbs 17 and verse 6 says, children's children. Benny, come here. Elena, you can come up here too, but you got to leave your coffee behind. Come on. The Bible says of these two that they're a crown to the aged. They're my crown. Here on earth, this is my treasure. When I walk in the house at the end of the day, Friday afternoons, where do you go Friday afternoons?
Your house.
Yeah. What do we do then?
We eat.
What do you do, Ben? Where do I usually find you when I come walking in the house? What are you playing with?
Legos.
Elena, where are you usually? Hiding. Trying to scare me. And there is no greater joy than when I come around the corner and they see me and it's Grandpa! That's my crown, folks. Go sit down, guys. Thank you. Give him a hand. Thank you. That's my crown. That's my joy. I'm getting old, but they bring life. Grandkids bring life, don't they, Dave? They bring life. Children are a gift. Psalms 127:3 says, proclaim that the sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. I can't tell you how much I experienced that truth in my life with my kids. My sons and my daughters. What more do you get? You know, what cars make a difference? What houses make a difference if your family is not there? My kids are a heritage from the Lord. When we did Jim's funeral, it was all about his kids and his grandkids. There is no greater choice that you will make regarding your kids than to honor God with your life and to turn your kids back over to him every day if you need to. Every stinking day. When it's tough, when they're frustrating you, when there's anxiety, when what do? We talked about Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 1. Paul said, even though you're believers, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open, the eyes of your understanding would be open. It's changed my life. I begin to pray for my kids all the time. God, would you open the eyes of their understanding? Help them to see the truth in you. Help them to see the hope in you. Help them to see the life in you. God, I pray that their lives would be turned over to you. As believers, we're called to recognize that our children first and foremost belong to God. And that's for every one of us. I don't care what stage your kids are at in life. Turn them over to God. Turn them over to God. Turn them over to God on a regular basis. Ask him. He knows how they're wired. He knows stuff about your kids that you don't know about them. He knows stuff about them that they don't know about them. You say, well, Pastor, I think it's just too late. My kids are too old. Are they still breathing? Because if they're breathing, it is not too late. Somebody say amen. Because that's good. If they're still breathing, it is not too late. Children, our children, belong first and foremost to the Lord, and they're given to us as a gift of grace. And it is only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to God. We're told in 1 Samuel about Hannah presenting her son to the Lord, and you have to understand the picture. Hannah had gone over and over to the temple year after year begging God to give her a child, and it was so bad that at the end she's standing there and she's speaking, but words are not coming out. It was so bad the priest finally comes up and asks her, are you drunk? What's the matter with you? You talking? What are you? What's going on? And she pours out her heart and she says, I just want a child. And if I get this child, if God gives me a child, I am going to dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life. 1 Samuel 1:27. She brings him back to be dedicated. She says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I want you to understand something. She did it. I mean, she really did it. She said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'm going to dedicate him to you. And then she did not change her mind when she had a son. Right? She didn't back up and go, well, you know, metaphorically, God, I'm going to give him to you all the days of his life. She didn't say, well, you know, I didn't really know for sure if it was going to happen. I'd like a few more. She literally nursed the baby until he was done nursing and brought him to the temple, and you're not leaving Titus here to church, for that's not what I'm asking. Okay. He'd come over on Friday nights with Benny and Elena. Anytime. But there's no backing down. That's the point. You make that commitment. That is a heart commitment that you make. You say, I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to stand before these people, and I'm going to dedicate my child. You're making a commitment. You don't get to back away from that. You don't get a second option. We don't get to go, well, you know, we tried church for 6 months. It really didn't work for us. Well, you know, we did this thing, and it was okay, but because as soon as you let that butt in there, you open the door for the enemy. You do. It's hard enough. If you remain faithful to Christ, if you remain faithful to his people, if you remain walking a steady, it's going to be hard enough. There are going to be days when those little guys challenge you, sometimes maybe for decades. It's hard enough. Don't make a doorway. Don't back down. Hannah said, this is what I'm going to do. And she did it. In Luke, we read about Jesus. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple in order to present. We go, well, yeah, that was Jesus. No, it's not Jesus. They did it. They actually did it. I'm in awe of Hannah when I read that account, because she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and then she followed through. In the same way, Caleb and Joanna have chosen today to bring Titus, to dedicate him to the Lord. And it's a big deal. There's no backing down. You don't get to say, well, you know, children's church is enough for them. Children's church is not enough for them. Mom and dad following Jesus, that's what it takes. We don't need to give our kids excuses. And if you're sitting here and you've got a child who's struggling, understand, it's about you following Christ. It is about us. Now, this act does not make Titus a Christian. Nor does it make him a natural follower, nor does it buy him a place in heaven. Just like each one of us, there's going to come a day when Titus has got to stand up and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ myself. He's going to need to make that personal commitment on his own half, on his own behalf. But as he understands by mom and dad what that means, what that looks like, that opportunity will present itself. He might be 3, he might be 7, he might be 17, he might be 37. Today, what mom and dad are doing is they're making a declaration that they recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. And they're dedicating the gift that they have been given back to the giver of the gift. I said it before, and I'm reminded of this. I had a young man come to me in my garage one day. I was working on his car. He and his wife, they'd just been married for 8-9 months. And he said to me, I got to ask you a question. He said, my wife and I are thinking about having a baby. Do you think that's a good idea? And I thought, you know, something nobody ever told me. And I said, Jeremy, nobody ever told me this. I wish somebody had. And nobody ever told me this. The moment that you have a baby, you are a dad forever. Doesn't change in 6 months, doesn't change in 6 years, hasn't changed in 57 years. When you're a dad forever. When you're a mom forever. Your heart's going to break like the first day that they fell down and hurt their finger, hurt their toe, hurt their bum. Your heart's going to hurt that same way every time. I can say it in church, I'm the pastor. Your heart's going to hurt that same way every time they make a choice. Your heart's going to cry for them. They need to grow up. They need to figure out this God thing on their own. They need to figure out how to live their life. They need to do all of that, but you are still going to be their parent forever. At this point, Caleb, I'm Joanna. I'm going to ask you to come on up with Titus. He got a little squirrely for a while hearing Grandpa holler again. Preach. Why don't you just come right up on stage, because I know that's exactly what you want. Our purpose here is to dedicate Titus to the Lord. But as we do that, that's really about you guys. We want to dedicate the parents to the Lord as well. Again, this prayer, this ceremony doesn't confer any spiritual rights on him. He's got to grow up and ask Jesus to come into his life just like you two did. He's got to make that choice. But the way you live your lives is what's going to help him to make that choice. Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builder labors in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. This passage refers to children as a reward, but the psalmist is also pointing out that unless there's somebody, a watchman watching at the gate, unless there's somebody there, it's all in vain. Your lives are critical to how he grows up. And so today is not just about dedicating him, but it's also about you guys renewing your commitment to the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you in that. And we're going to pray over him. We're going to pray over him as a family. So one of the things that we do in this church, maybe you're not familiar with it, but sometimes we believe in extending a blessing. We believe the hands are a vehicle for blessing. So we're just going to ask you to extend your hands, and I'm going to pray a blessing over them. Father, I just thank you for Caleb and for Joanna. God, I thank you for this commitment that they're making. They're making a commitment to the church. They're making a commitment to you. They're saying that we want to raise Titus in a godly home because we're committing him to you. And so I pray that you would continue to work in their lives. Continue to use them, help them to know every day that if he's going to be a godly man, they need to be a godly mom and dad. So we just pray over their home. We pray over their decisions, over their choices. God, I pray every day that they would do their level best to serve you and to follow you. And God, we pronounce blessing over Titus. God, I pray right now that you would move mightily in his life. We dedicate him to you. God, we recognize that you're sovereign. You brought this gift into the world, God. First and foremost, he's your child. We pray for a hedge of protection around him. God, I pray that you'd give Caleb and Joanna wisdom in everything that they do. Protect him, keep him safe. God, we trust you with him. And we pray, Lord, that there will come a day when Titus will stand up and say, you know what, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior forever and ever. Commit him to you today. We ask for your protection, for your life to reside over him, and I ask that your life would reside over their household and their family. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you, buddy. Thank you, guys. So since we're here, and since we're talking about commitment, maybe it's time that we relook at our commitment to the Lord. It's easy for us to sit back and say, yep, that's good for them. I'm really glad they did that. It's easy for us to say, well, Caleb and Joanna, they got some choices to make now. It's really easy to say, yeah, they need to live a godly life. My question is, what about us? What about us every day? I've been challenged over the course of the last 13 months or so, especially in my relationship with the Lord. Now, it's not like any time in the last 13 months I was planning on pulling the pin and walking away. That's not it. How many of you know deception doesn't come that way? The devil doesn't just jump up and go, I'm here, follow me. You want to go to hell? Follow me. That's not how he does it, right? Instead, he says, look, the water's sweet over here. You don't really need to spend that time over there. Come in just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit. That's the heart of deception, right? Is that it's slow. We don't really generally walk away. We tend to drift away. I've got hard times going on in my life. This is going on. That's going on. I have been challenged to keep my heart right. I've been challenged to keep my attitude right. I've been challenged to keep my mouth right. You know how many times I want to look at somebody doing something foolish and say, are you an idiot or what? I want to say that. Sometimes I have. It's a challenge for me to get back and get right. It's a challenge for me to say, you know what? It's not my job to judge how somebody is doing church somewhere else. That's not my job. I know. According to Scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that nothing, height nor depth, angels or demons, nothing can separate me from the love of God. I know that God's had a plan for me ever since the beginning of time. But I also know that we have an enemy. And I also know that if I don't take those passages of Scripture seriously, that I can be deceived and I can fall away. Any one of us can be deceived. The Bible says that Satan is a liar and he is the father of all lies. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Right? We're in a battle. You're in a battle every day for your family. You're in a battle for your mind. You're in a battle for your money. You're in a battle for your heart. You're in a battle for your children. And the moment that we let our guard down, we open the door to the enemy. The challenge today for us is not just to dedicate a baby. The challenge is to rededicate ourselves and say, you know what? I want to walk in this kingdom. I want to walk in light. God, there are areas in my life where I've let my guard down. Listen to what Joshua says. Joshua 1, starting in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give you to the Israelites. There was a promise before Moses. Moses disobeyed. When Moses died, God said, here's the mantle, Joshua. Get ready. Take these people. Cross. Get ready to fulfill the promise. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. How'd you like to walk in that? How would you like to walk in God giving you every place that you set your foot? Your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon to the deserts of Lebanon and from the great Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise for each and every one of us. But how many of you know we can walk out? I don't think God ever walks out. He says he'll never leave us or forsake us. But we certainly have the ability. We don't do it intentionally. It just is a little drift. I'll get right back, God. Yeah, no, that's good. I'll be back. That whole prayer thing. I know I did that. I'll get back to that. And reading your word. Yeah, that's. I'll do that. I'll read twice tomorrow, three times on Friday. and we drift. We drift. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But we drift. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore before them to their ancestors. Listen to this. Listen to this. There are people in your life that God has put there for you to lead. But it's not going to happen if you drift. It's not going to happen. Your kids are a perfect example of that. God says, I put these people, these little ones, in your life to lead. If you drift away from me, you're going to be leading in the wrong direction. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Listen to this. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He's telling Joshua, you meditate on God's word. Get it in you, and then you don't have to worry about having it with you, because it's in your heart. It's written on your heart. Then you're going to obey it, but you've got to get it in. We're told over 40 times in the Old Testament to meditate on God's word. 40 times to meditate on God's word, to chew on it, to focus on it. I'm going to give you an example of my son Jared. As you know, Jared has some disabilities, but that man loves sports. Like, he loves sports. I had to learn about sports when Jared turned about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 30. I'm still learning about sports. He would have his computer in his room open, laptop. He can't read. I've told you this story. I know. I'm sorry. But it's so fitting. He'd have that laptop open. He'd have the game on. As soon as the game went to commercial, he's looking back at the laptop. He can't read. He'd take it out. Dad, what does this say about Joe Mauer? What does this say about Brett Favre? What does this say about? So I'd read what it just happened. And then the game comes back on, and he's watching the game, and then the game goes off. And he's watching the computer, and he's going back and forth. What was he doing? He was meditating on that. Meditating on that. 6 months later, when you see a flag thrown on the field, he could tell you what the flag's about, even though the camera was off. Here, the foul, the penalty, was off screen. Why? Because he meditated on it, so he preemptively kind of knew what it was. I'm here to tell you, when you meditate on God's word, it changes your mindset and you begin to understand things that you just didn't understand before. You begin to get stuff in you and you go, I'm not really even sure why I know this. But I know it. I know it. I know it's how it works. My brother-in-law came to me one day and he's like, I hit a sandbar with my boat, inboard, outboard. And he said, I screwed something up in the shaft and nobody will look at it. It's an old boat. Nobody will look at it. And I said, well, let's tear it apart. It's got to be a bent shaft. I described it all to him. He's like, have you ever taken one of those apart before? I said, no. There's really only one way it can work. It's got to be a CV joint back there, and it's got to be this, and it's got to be that. He's like, have you ever seen one of these? This was before Google. Okay? Before I knew about Google. And he said, is it, you know, so I drew a picture. This is what it's going to look like in there. He's like, how do you know that? I'm like, that's how it has to work. So he took it apart, and he was able to lay that, those parts right next to that picture. Why? Because I'm a genius? No, because I've worked on machines all my life. It's the only way you're going to get power from here to there, by doing it this way. Let's just do it that way. Well, can we fix it? Sure, we can fix it. Somebody else made it. All we're doing is fixing it. It's just nuts and bolts. It's the same as true of God's word. God's already written the book. But we need to commit our lives to it over and over and over and over again. And if you find yourself one day where you've drifted, it's easy. Just come running back. God, I just need to make this fresh again. I drifted. I missed it. I repent. I'm sorry. Every one of us, folks, I don't care who you are, every one of us drifts. Listen to what Joshua says then later on in the book. Joshua 24, 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your other gods that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. You say, well, my family never worshipped other gods. Yes, they did. They worshipped all kinds of other gods. Maybe it was their cars, maybe it was their trucks, maybe it was fishing, maybe it was beer, maybe it was, I don't know what it was, but they worshipped something. We're worshipers. It's who we are. We're going to worship something. Joshua said, God spoke to Joshua and said, throw that stuff away. And listen to verse 15. But if you're serving the Lord, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve, whether it's the other gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But for me and my household, Joshua's telling people, but for me and my, if you look at the Lord and you say, you know what, this does not seem reasonable to me, then go ahead and do your thing. Wait a minute, I'm going to tell you something. There's some freedom in there. This kind of makes me dance as a pastor. If you're sitting in my office and you don't think it's reasonable to follow the Lord, that's not my problem. Sorry. You're going to suffer for it, but go ahead and do it. For me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. If you think going out and getting drunk every Friday night is a better way to go, I guess, go. You're going to see the results of it. If you think running around on your wife is the way to go, well, go. You're going to see the results of it. And it's my fault. But for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's a commitment, folks, that I think every one of us should make. That is a commitment every one of us should make. As we close today, it may be time for each one of us to recommit our lives to the call of Jesus Christ, to remind ourselves that we're in a battle, and the devil would love nothing more than to get you offended and drag you off. And it could be something simple. It could be that stupid neighbor who blows his snow in your driveway and gets you all amped up every Sunday morning before you go to church. It could be the guy down the street who does this. It could be the bumper stickers. It could be the Democrats. It could be the Republicans. It could be the political system. It could be the blah, 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 blah. You could just keep throwing up those gods all over the place. It could be anything. It could be your job. It could be the person next to you. It could be somebody in your business. It could be blah, 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 blah. Stupid customers, stupid bosses, stupid business owners. Get it right. It's not about them. Right? I had a buddy who told me one time, you know, he said, if you keep wearing out your right shoe, and you do it two or three times, maybe it's time to realize it ain't the shoe. It might be the foot. If everybody around me is, I'm always fed up with them and I'm always grumpy with them and I can't like them for that and I can't like them for this. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's me. And I need to go from having this religious higher than thou attitude, holier than thou, I got it and y'all are snakes, to God, humble me. God, use me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Ooh, that's a whole nother sermon. I will gather you from the nations and the places where I have where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you're in a bit of exile and you can't quite get it right. And God says, come on back. You call me with your whole heart. You seek me with your whole heart. And you're going to find me. Amen? We're going to close in prayer. And then if you say to yourself, you know what? I'd really like someone to come and pray because I need to get my stuff back together. There'll be somebody up here to pray with you. Our elders will come up. There'll be somebody to come and pray. God, I just thank you for each person in this room. I thank you for each person watching us online. We came this morning to dedicate a baby, to dedicate a family. And we recognize that we need to rededicate ourselves every day. If our kids are going to walk after the Lord, then we need to walk after the Lord. If we're going to walk down dark paths, they're going to walk down dark paths. If we're going to open those doors, they're going to walk through them. Joshua said, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I pray, God, that that would resonate in our hearts for the people in this building, for the people who are watching us online. Lord, they have the same opportunity. Come back to you, come back to you, come back to you, to be found by you when they cry out to you. You know the plans you have for us. You know how you knit us together. You know everything about us, God. And you're willing to take us back out of the ditch if we've allowed ourselves to get into it. Bless each person here today, Father. Move in their lives. Each person who's watching us online, God, move in their lives. Help us to recommit ourselves anew to you every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have yourselves a great day.